Today is 6 November, Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report. It's time to rumble. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, what does that mean, it's time to rumble? From the Sarasota Herald Tribune, everybody knows what YouTube is. Well, there's a couple other sites that post videos, and one of them is known as Rumble. From the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Rumble, video platform popular among conservative viewers, setting up U.S. headquarters on Longboat Key, Sarasota, Florida. Toronto-based video platform Rumble, which is popular among conservative viewers, will establish its U.S. headquarters on Longboat Key. The platform provides video creators a way to host, manage, distribute, and create feeds and monetize their content, according to Rumble's website. Rumble has signed a lease for a property on Longboat Key. That's a really tough assignment for those folks. They're leaving Canada, and they're moving to Longboat Key. That's a tough assignment there. So I emailed them to congratulate them. I did not tell them that they're welcome at the church, but I did hint that our church posts to their platform. And so if any of them need a good conversion, they're welcome to come to the Superior Word. All right, now for some news from Israel today. From I-24, Israel Prime Minister privately says coalition government won't last. I think he sees that there's something going on that they have this coalition. They did pass a budget, though, for the first time in 3 years. But he said Israel's Prime Minister Bennett privately delivered comments predicting that his government would not last long enough for Foreign Minister Lapid to become Prime Minister. I estimate that the rotation will not happen. There's a considerable chance that the government will dissolve between the budget and the time of the change of power for various reasons. So, if so, then we'll be right back where we were a couple years ago. From the New York Post, New York pulls $111 million in pension funds from Ben and Jerry's over a boycott of Israel-occupied territories. I hope everybody does. I hope they go out of business. They're gross. After a thorough review, the New York State Common Retirement Fund will divest its equity holdings in Unilever PLC. Our review of the activities of the company and its subsidiary, Ben & Jerry's, found they engage in BDS activities under our pension funds policy. Good. From Red State, Ben & Jerry's get hit with divestments from multiple states over anti-Israel decision. Eight so far. Eight states currently investigating whether anti-BDS laws are able to be used to divest from the company themselves. These being, and some of them have already done it, like Texas, but so far it's New York, New Jersey, Florida, Texas, Maryland, and Rhode Island. Wow. Good job. From the Times of Israel, planned law will let Israel collect personal info on all airline passengers. This is just like the Patriot Act that we had here years ago, which is just, you start slowly, and you get the ball rolling, and you just keep taking away liberties. Yeah. Just keep taking away, and that's what we have right here. Beyond the person's name, nationality, date of birth, and passport number, which are already transferred to authorities, the database will collect files used by airlines called PNRs, or passenger name records. These include a wide array of information regarding passengers, the flight or flights they took, how the tickets were purchased, and travel status, including where they sit, how much luggage they check in or carry on, and any special requests like meals or other in-flight services. The database will allow authorities to see credit card numbers used to purchase a ticket, as well as a billing address and whether there are other related charges to the card. If a passenger is in a frequent flyer or rewards program or got an upgrade or bought a one-way ticket, it will be in the database. And if six tickets were purchased together or someone missed their flight, it will show that too. One little thing after another, and pretty soon they know everything about everybody and you got no freedoms at all. I mean, why some of those things are necessary, I can't imagine. Now, I'll admit, I went to Israel with my mother in 2003, and when we got there, They're Mossad, you know, these people, they're trained to investigate who's getting on their planes, and rightly so. But they asked my mother and I, who were standing next to each other, what denomination do you attend? And my mom called out hers, and I called out mine at the same time, and they looked at us, and I said, well, she attends that. And so they thought, well, this is red flag. So they started asking more questions, and we got little flowers painted onto our visas, which means watch these people. And, you know, me, I'd watch me anyway. If I saw me walking down the road, I'd go down the other side, okay? So, but they gave me a flower, and the entire time I was on that LL flight, there was a guy watching me the entire flight. They're very security conscious, but at the same time, I think they are going overboard with this. From the Times of Israel, IDF fighter jets escort American bomber, one of our B-1 bombers, through region in tacit threat to Iran. Israeli F-15 fighter jets escorted an American heavy bomber through the region as it made its way to the Persian Gulf in an apparent threat to Iran. The escort mission came as Israeli and American officials have increasingly threatened to act against Tehran's military nuclear program, as Iran has stalled indirect negotiations with the U.S. in Vienna regarding a mutual return to the 2015 nuclear deal, which they never should do. But from the Times of Israel, IAF to start training for strike on Iran nuke program in coming months. The IAF will begin practicing a strike on Iran's nuclear program beginning next year, having set aside funding and updated its training schedule for the mission. In light of growing uncertainty regarding a return by Iran to the 2015 nuclear deal, the IDF in recent months has ramped up its efforts to prepare a credible military threat against Tehran's nuclear facilities. In the beginning of this year, IDF Chief of Staff Kohavi announced he had instructed the military to begin drawing up fresh attack plans. And last week, the government reportedly allocated, as we said last week, billions of shekels toward making those plans viable. And as I said, it was $1.5 billion. But instead of that being their priority, we talked about some other things that were getting $3 and even $9 billion. It had nothing to do with anything protecting the country, which sounds just like the person that's in the White House that wants to give $500,000 to each family member that was separated, that was here illegally. I mean, I'm so upset about this that it's almost all I can think of is how he is destroying our nation so quickly, and he's doing things that are so damaging to the citizens of this nation. Yeah, that is the plan, and he is a bad, bad person. This is not a good person. Anybody on his side of the aisle, in my opinion, is a goner. They're just bad people. Okay, we have some news from Christianity today. Jerry Jeffer finished the Leviticus sermons. Now on to Esther, he says. I'm slowly catching up. I'm excited to see what the Lord shows me next. And good stuff in Esther. I can tell you, great, great patterns and things that are hidden in there that were found doing a computer program by Sergio, who's over in Israel, and just wonderful acrostics that were never seen before are included in those Esther sermons. So be sure to watch those. From Reuters, Pope Francis is asking people to pray for the earth as UN climate talks begin, which are now in their first week. Francis, in comments to the public in St. Peter's Square, told the crowd, "Let us pray so that the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor is heard by summit participants. How about praying for the lost? How about praying for people that don't have Jesus?" This is one of... He's just like the left in this nation. I'll say it of him, too. He is a bad person. There's nothing good about that man. From the Daily Beast, Vatican II exorcists, please don't try to cast COVID out of people. You just got to wonder what's going on in people's minds in this world. Mail online. No, just give them something that will cure it and send them home with that. I can think of a couple things that you can buy, you know, stuff like horse dewormer, right? Mail online. Archbishop of Canterbury. This really riles me up. I'm going to read you this title and then the next title, and I want you to think about it. Now, I'm going to say this. It's probably going to upset somebody, but I don't care, okay? The Jewish people, we're in Deuteronomy 28 right now. Does anybody know what Deuteronomy 28 is? It's the blessings and the curses. Okay, it's a parallel of Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, the Lord said in the first person, I will do this if you don't obey. in Deuteronomy, Moses puts it in the third person. The Lord will do this. And it repeats it and it builds on it, and it's got some other aspects that are very interesting. But what has happened to Israel over the years, as you will see, because it was all told in advance, is a self-inflicted wound. And they have taken one particular thing in their history, which is recent, and they beat it over the heads of the people to where it gets almost tedious. And that'll be in my last Deuteronomy 28 sermon. I'm going to talk about that. But I want you to know how upsetting it is to me that this is something that happened to them, and they have not acknowledged their part in what happened to them. And then they beat people over the head with it, and here we go. Archbishop of Canterbury is forced to make groveling apology for offense to Jews after saying failure to get a climate change deal would mean genocide on an infinitely greater scale than committed by the Nazis. What happened to the Jews was terrible. It also happened to the gypsies. It happened to the, all kinds of people. All right. This is something that's a part of human history, and it is being used as a tool against people. And so he had to give this groveling apology. Now, I disagree with the whole climate change thing. You know that. I just disagree with it. But if you really believe that that is something that is going to destroy the world, and not just one small group of people in the world, next article from All Israel News. Bennett, Prime Minister of Israel, pledges to harness Israeli ingenuity and innovation to save the world from environmental challenges. Okay, you can't say anything about the Holocaust, but if you really believe the world is falling apart, which it is, but not because of climate change, okay, where are the priorities here? That's my thing on that, from Life News. Biden lawyer caught criticizing pro-life Christians. They're not sincere in their beliefs. He made a blanket statement that every person that doesn't want this shot because of his religious beliefs is not sincere. Once again, no respect for the left at all. None. Zero. There's none left in me for him. I'm sorry. A lawyer in the Biden admin has been caught in a phone call criticizing pro-life Christians and questioning the sincerity of their beliefs. The White House official was captured criticizing the religious beliefs of federal workers on abortion, specifically the religious exemptions to the COVID vaccine mandate. Millions of Christians have not gotten the COVID vaccine in part because of the vaccines and their various connections to cells from aborted babies. Millions of babies have been murdered by the left in this nation. Yeah. It's a crime against humanity, and I'm not going to participate in it by having something injected in me that was a result of that experimentation. It's not going to happen. Some vaccines, like the ones from Pfizer and Moderna, were tested using cells derived from cells from aborted babies. Others, like the J&J vaccine, were more specifically produced using cells from aborted babies. In the call, Biden lawyer Marty Lederman is heard advising the Biden admin on how to combat religious exemptions to the COVID vaccine mandate. Bad, bad people. Bad people. Some news from the Mideast and Africa today. Why not? Palestinian Authority on the verge of financial collapse as fewer donors honor commitments. The Palestinian Authority is experiencing the worst financial difficulties it has ever had since its establishment more than a quarter of a century ago. Once again, this is another self-inflicted wound. Top officials say that the Treasury is facing a severe cash crunch, and this could soon reflect on its ability to pay government salaries and conduct daily business. And Charlie Garrett's heart just breaks. From USSA News. Emails reveal Biden wanted to import thousands of Afghans without vetting. Okay. Senator Josh Hawley revealed that Biden ordered his admin to fill up American evacuation planes from Afghanistan with as many of the citizens of the country as possible, even if they were not vetted. This email was shared by an American official present in Afghanistan during the evacuation who was shocked by the admin's failure to vet Afghans before they were evacuated. Email details orders from Joe Biden to fill up the planes even without vetting. Total inflow to the U.S. must exceed the number of seats available. Err on the side of excess, it said in an August 16th email to the American officials involved in the evacuation from Afghanistan. This guidance provides clear discretion and direction to fill seats and to provide special consideration for women and children when we have seats. Hawley, who says he obtained the email through a U.S. official, was outraged by the failure to vet Afghan refugees flown into America. No shots required. You can come over the border in the South, no shots required. You get paid for coming here. U.S. citizens are being subjected to brutality through mandated vaccines. Thank goodness the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals last night decided that they are stopping this. They have asked for a response from the White House by Monday afternoon. They have shut down this, and they're going to then see what the administration says, and they're going to make their case after that. But we have people that are standing up for the rights of American citizens. I don't think one person that does not want that vaccine should take it right now. Not one of them. Everybody should rebel against this tyranny that's being effected against the United States of America, the citizens of the United States of America. From Newsweek, Afghanistan wedding ends with alleged Taliban gunning down guests due to music being played. From Reuters, Taliban says failure to recognize their government could have global effects. Now, you want money, you want help, and then you threaten the world to get it. That's a smart policy for that administration. The Taliban called on the United States and other countries on Saturday last week to recognize their government in Afghanistan, saying that a failure to do so and the continued freezing of Afghan funds abroad would lead to problems not only for the country, but for the world. From Fox News, former U.S. soldier returns to Afghanistan, rescues Christians from the Taliban. Now listen to this article. One guy, we've got an administration that couldn't get any of our people out, 450 or more still there, and listen to what this guy did, and listen to who he is. Listen to this. A former U.S. soldier said he's brought at least 30 at-risk people, including Christians, from Afghanistan across the closed Pakistan border and was lashed by the Taliban for his efforts. The Afghan native, he's a native of Afghanistan, went to Pakistan about a month ago and illegally crossed into Afghanistan to rescue his family. Relatives hid around Kabul after the Taliban took over, fearing they would be killed for their familial connection to an army staff sergeant as well as their own past work against the extremist group. They say on the news, there's no U.S. soldier in Afghanistan, but I am here, and I'll help as long as it takes. I'm a proud American soldier. The Afghanistan war veteran who was discharged after suffering traumatic brain injuries added, I've taken an oath, and I'll never forget that oath. Since returning to Afghanistan, the former soldier said he's rescued Catholics and other Christians, as well as Hazara minorities, all of whom are Taliban targets. It feels good getting them out, saving them from the Taliban. He said he helped a family of 10 Afghan Christians escape. He also helped a couple that recently converted to Catholicism. Now we need to get them converted from that, but we'll go over that later. And was in danger because of their religion. Everyone in the neighborhood knew about it, and they started snitching on them. He said he and some Afghan nomads helped them illegally cross the border into Pakistan. The couple ultimately escaped to a third country. On my way back from this area, I got caught by the Taliban and they lashed me on my back. I think it was only 7 times, but had they known that I had actually just helped a Catholic family get out, it would have been worse, far worse. What a hero. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. Ooh, from Aki Press. Mongolia, remember, I say this from time to time, almost every week, because it's just so interesting. They started out in February with zero COVID in their nation. Zero. Okay? They had no deaths except a couple of foreigners that were in there. They started getting their shots. Went just like this. Mongolia confirmed 1,021 daily new coronavirus cases. 690 new cases were confirmed in Ulaanbaatar, and 331 cases were detected in the regions. The total number of cases increased to 362,526. Okay, now this is just since February, and this is a week old now. I got it last Monday, maybe, or somewhere right around there. 7,198 hospitalized patients are in mild. 6,219 are in serious. 1,845 are in critical condition. I would bet that most of them have been, and 301 are in extremely critical condition. 10 people died from coronavirus in a single day, raising the death toll to 1,682. From zero to this. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Okay, Seattle Times says, This is just cool. I know it's dangerous. You blow people up and stuff, but it is just interesting how people develop things. I've always liked, you give me the nuclear bomb movie that William Shatner narrated, and I could watch it twice a week. It's just fun for me to watch that kind of stuff. So, astounding new sensors make U.S. nukes more powerful and more accurate, but they may create additional security perils. A sophisticated electronic sensor buried in hardened metal shells at the tip of a growing number of American ballistic missiles reflects a significant achievement in weapons engineering that experts say could help pave the way for reductions in the size of the country's nuclear arsenal, but might also create new security perils. The wires, sensors, batteries, and computing gear now being installed on hundreds of the most powerful warheads give them an enhanced ability to detonate with what the military considers exquisite timing over some of the world's most challenging targets, substantially increasing the probability that in the event of a major conflict, those targets would be destroyed in a radioactive rain of fire, heat, and unearthly explosive pressures. If you've ever studied the nuclear detonations they've done, okay, they will detonate them underground. They will detonate them at ground level. They'll detonate them 100 feet above ground level, 1,000 feet above ground level, way up in the atmosphere. They detonate them all different ways with different kilotons, with different triggers, and that way they can tell what the most effective place is for certain types of needs. Like you've got a hardened bunker, how high above it, how close to it, etc., how many kilotons, because it's not, doesn't have to be huge, it can be smaller but more targeted. Everything comes into play with these things, and that is what they have done, is they've developed a trigger that causes these to go off at exactly the right moment, so you can reduce your arsenal, save money on that, and not destroy a lot of other things that don't need to be destroyed. The new components, which determine and set the best type for a nuclear blast, are now being paired with other engineering enhancements that collectively increase what military planners refer to as the individual nuclear warhead's hard target kill capability. This gives them an improved ability to destroy Russian and Chinese nuclear-tipped missiles and command posts in hardened silos or mountain sanctuaries, or to obliterate military command and storage bunkers, say in North Korea, also considered a potential U.S. nuclear target. The increased destructiveness of the warheads means that in some cases, fewer weapons could be needed to ensure that all the objectives in the nation's nuclear targeting plans are fully met, opening a path to future shrinkage of the overall arsenal, current and former U.S. officials said in a number of interviews in which some spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss sensitive technology. Production of the first of many high-yield nuclear warheads containing the gear, developed over the past decade at a cost of billions of dollars, was completed in July for installation on missiles aboard submarines. It follows the development and installation of smaller fuses, designed by the same nuclear laboratory, on hundreds of smaller-yield submarine warheads in a program completed in 2019. After the Air Force installed some of the same technology aboard new land-based missiles slated for deployment by the end of the decade, it will be deployed on more than 1,300 warheads in the U.S. arsenal. It's an astounding piece of technology. While existing U.S. weapons are highly accurate, the sensors the lab created are even better at computing the best moment for a blast to be ignited to produce the highest pressures on the targets. They accomplish this even while the warheads approach at speeds that other experts have said exceed 15,682 miles per hour. Daryl G. Press, a consultant to the DOD, have estimated an article that the fuses have roughly doubled the destructive power of the U.S. submarine fleet alone. That's a giant achievement. You know, it's a fact of life. Nuclear weapons are a fact of life. If we don't have them, what was Charles LeMay? He said, strength through deterrence. Is that correct? I believe so. That was his motto for the Strategic Air Command. If you don't have it, they're going to come after you. You've got to have it. And when you have this type of technology, it doesn't matter how many bombs they have, they're not going to come against you if they know that they will be obliterated. So it's a very effective thing. It doesn't mean that we're going to go blowing these things off. It just means that we have this ability and they know it. Very good. It's a dangerous world, I'd say so, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. Okay, from Fox, I got two articles on North Korea today. North Korea asks starving citizens to eat less as food shortages expected to continue. North Koreans are being asked to eat less food as the communist nation deals with a food emergency that is expected to continue at least until 2025. A shortage of food in the nation led by dictator Kim Jong-un has resulted from a shutdown of its border with China, an action that was taken in 2020 in a bid to slow the spread of the coronavirus. But the move has devastated North Korea's economy as food prices have spiked and has resulted in starvation deaths among its population of 25 million. Some residents in North Korea suspect that Kim's regime request for citizens to cut back on food consumption suggests the leader is not aware of how serious the food situation is. About 40% of North Korea's population is estimated by the UN World Food Program to be undernourished, and the nation has been short of food this year by about 860,000 tons, or the equivalent of 2 months' worth of food. According to the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, some of the residents are saying that the situation right now is so serious, they don't know if they'll even survive this coming winter. And winter is right here, right now. The first source told the outlet that North Korean officials were trying to blame the food crisis on the severity of the coronavirus pandemic, but the residents do not trust the authorities' explanation. Other causes alleged by North Korea included the effects of natural disasters and repercussions from economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. and the U.N. North Korean officials wrote in a review submitted to the United Nations. Very sad. I think we should keep the North Koreans in prayer. They're people, just like everybody else, and they have a bad government, and bad decisions are being made, and the people are suffering.
Is the president cutting back?
He is. He has lost a lot of weight. He is, yes, and I don't know if that was intentional or if he got a disease, or I have no idea, but he has lost a lot of weight. All right, from the New York Post. North Koreans being told to eat black swans, the beautiful black swans that are all over Asia, amid food crisis. Weight-watching tyrant Kim Jong-un has reportedly come up with an unexpected solution to North Korea's food crisis, getting his hungry citizens to eat ornamental black swans. The Hermit Kingdom has been pushing the ornamental birds as a protein-packed superfood while opening industrial-scale breeding plants. Black swan meat is delicious and has medicinal value, they say. The ruling party newspaper said as it pushed the bird meat, which is rarely eaten anywhere in the world. State media previously called black swan meat an exceptional health food of the 21st century with a unique taste and extremely high nutritional value. Research into breeding the rare ornamental birds for food began in the spring of 2019, with state-sponsored researchers even claiming the meat has anti-cancer properties. The Korean outlet said their production is one of many of Kim's desperate measures after apologizing for the tense situation from a crippling food shortage. Kim has ordered every grain of rice to be secured and all-out efforts devoted to farming. Really sad situation over there. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that from the Epoch Times. This is one long article. I have a point about this. If you just think it through, you'll get the point. Cartels using narco slaves to grow illegal marijuana on industrial scale in Oregon. They have slavery in Oregon. Locals spooked, police overwhelmed. 7 years after Oregon legalized recreational marijuana, the market for cannabis is booming. But rather than propagate a legal agricultural sector that grows the state's economy as intended, which these things never work, other states are getting into it, and it won't work in those states either. Okay, you're going to get the same result. Same result. The industry has taken a dark turn. Today, it is cultivating an ecosystem of international organized crime, human trafficking, and environmental degradation. Oregon voters were told that legalization would put an end to the black market for marijuana. Taxing the legal product would help to fund schools and police, both of which have suffered tremendous loss of revenue in the state since federal policies led to a decline in timber revenues. And why? Because the left don't want them to cut any trees over there. Okay, proponents of legalization said. By 2020, legal marijuana sales in Oregon topped $1.1 billion a year, contributing $150 million to state revenue, which funded schools, mental health and drug treatment programs, and state police. The problems began when criminal enterprises learned that they could use a legal hemp farm operation as a cover for an illegal marijuana grow, and that they could overwhelm law enforcement, which has been defunded for decades in small rural towns. Today, the Oregon Health Authority reports that nearly half of the registered hemp farms inspected in Oregon are illegally growing marijuana. And another 25% of registered hemp farms won't allow state inspectors in. Growers can simply thumb their noses at law enforcement with no consequence. Once growers realized that the rush was on, drug traffickers flocked here from every state in the nation and nearly a dozen countries, including China, Russia, Bulgaria, and Argentina. One of the best defense backs in the NFL bought a 40-acre property here and immediately put in an illegal marijuana grow on it. A growing operation can generate nearly $1 billion each year, and the sheriff estimates there are hundreds of illegal grows in his county alone. That's why the cartels are here. Some people will do anything for that kind of money. Murder, rape, traffic human beings. We estimate that about 10,000 migrant workers have been brought to the country by bus and truck. One day they are in Southern California holding up a sign looking for work, and the next day they're dropped off in Oregon without identification or money, and they don't speak English. We served one search warrant and found nearly 300 migrant workers locked in a barn. They were fed twice a day and had no running water or facilities. These are the people that have been coming over the border, that our president has been flying around the country. Narco traffickers are turning them into slaves. Wow. And our administration is behind this.
But we're so compassionate.
We're so compassionate. Okay? They are afraid that the cartels will kill them or their families back home, so they don't talk. When a grow is done, they are often abandoned. Though slavery is the most shocking issue, the impact on the environment and livability is also profound. Illegal growers steal massive amounts of water and are depleting our water tables. One constituent told Morgan that her water level had been 35 feet deep for the past 25 years. A neighbor started a grow operation and her water dropped to 75 feet. They also use pesticide foggers to kill bugs and it contaminates the aquifer, Morgan continued. Legal growers, neighbors, and other farms are all affected, and workers are exposed to high levels of toxins. A property goes on the market and sells immediately, sometimes at twice the asking price in cash, Morgan said. Residents can't afford to buy. Many live in fear. People who were living on a quiet rural property suddenly find themselves surrounded on all sides by new landowners conducting industrial operations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They drive trucks in and out and run generators 24 hours a day. They shoot guns at all hours. They blare music all night. Oregon, the liberal bastion of the world where everything is fine and we've got an environment we're protecting and we've got people that we're helping and everything that they have done is destroyed because they're liberals and they don't think the consequences through to their logical end. Man, I said this, what, 3-4 years ago when they passed that law? Wait. Next, you know what's going to happen? They're going to vote. No kidding. They're going to vote to pay reparations to the slaves. They got them into that mess, and then they're going to take public funds and say, we have to pay these people reparations. Some other news from around the world. Please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons, too. Okay? All right. Mail online. 30% of Republicans. I did not get a call on this, or it would have been 31% maybe. 30% of Republicans say violence may be the only way to save the U.S. from its mounting problems, new poll finds. The survey also found that nearly 7 in 10 Republicans believe the 2020 presidential election was stolen. I wasn't called on that one either. It would have been 8 in 10. Share of independents who thought violence would be necessary to save the country went up from 17 to 13% back in March. The world is really tense right now because of the left destroying everything that we held as sacred. It's all being thrown out the window by a bunch of people that weren't even elected. From Gateway Pundit, the new digital driver's license will include your vaccine status, may eventually include your credit score, travel records, and social credit score. A new digital driver's license is currently in the works in Utah and other states. The program will include your driver's license info and your COVID-19 status. This will be tracked by the government and available to government employees. The program may also include the following information in the future. They've already got plans for it, not approved yet, but here's what they want to add in. Your health records, your financial reports, credit scores, travel records, vehicle registration, spending, voting, sex offender status, which I could agree with, licenses and permits you have, parking fines, social credit scoring, and Mississippi is also discussing the mobile ID program. Control, control. Just get their fingers in your life and squeeze everything they can out of you. From the Epic Times, Los Angeles to pay $1,000 a month to 3,000 low-income families as part of Guaranteed Basic Income program. Mail Online, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot announces guaranteed basic income of $500 a month for low-income families after defunding police by $80 million and cutting 400 cops. It never works, it never has worked, it never will work, and the only thing that will happen is those people that receive that money will be harmed. Not helped, they will be harmed. We see it every single week of our lives, several of us that go to the projects. They will be harmed. Epic Times. Woman dies trying to swim around California-Mexican border barrier. And nobody cares. They just keep letting them come. Nobody cares. Epic Times. Ohio school board group severs ties with national organization over domestic terrorism letter. Good. Epic Times. Missouri school board group quits national association over letter comparing parents to terrorists. Good. BPR. State votes to withdraw from national school board association over domestic terror letter. Pennsylvania. Good. Epic Times. New Hampshire school boards association leaves the national organization over parent controversy. Good. Next article. New York Post. NSBA chief who penned domestic terrorism letter named to federal post. Yeah. The Biden admin has tapped the president of the NSBA who penned a letter to Biden comparing parents speaking out about their children's education to domestic terrorists for a position on the federal board setting policy for students' performance. Yeah, you know where they stand. They're bad. They're bad people. Zero Hedge. The fire is hot. Why Morgan Stanley is bracing for a collapse in the U.S. consumer early next year. This is just the summary at the end. Bottom line, the fundamental picture for stocks is deteriorating as the Fed starts to tighten monetary policy and earnings growth slows further into next year, turning outright negative for some companies. However, asset prices are continuing to rise as retail investors keep plowing excess cash into these same investments. Meanwhile, with strong seasonal trends and pressure to perform high at this time of year, many institutional investors we speak with are staying fully invested for these technical reasons. If our analysis is correct, we think that this bullish trend can continue into Thanksgiving, but not much longer. Canned food at Publix, 2-for-1 again.
Yipper.
I got all kinds of soups today. Yummy, yummy.
Yes.
Just in case, hey man, you never know. It's not going to go bad. If you want to give it to somebody, you can pass it on to somebody. But be ready, because we don't know what's coming. And I'm telling you, with the administration that we have right now, the illegally put in place administration, we need to be careful. You need to beware of what's coming, possibly, because they want this nation destroyed. From Zero Hedge. PETA wants Major League Baseball. PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, wants Major League Baseball to stop saying bullpen because it is insensitive to cows. Okay, we've been talking about all kinds of negative things and a couple funny things. I've got something that I'm going to read you, and I hope that you will look this person up. I hope that you will go online because you can afford it. And I would hope that you would buy something from this gentleman. Remember when they took Aunt Jemima and they erased her from the thing?
Yeah.
And the family wanted her on there. They were honored to have her on there. And they did that with Cream of Wheat and some other things.
Yeah.
Take them off. Okay, I want you to help this person, okay? I want you to write this down. Remember this name. Go online. You can watch his YouTube video. You can go to his website. Cousin T's Buttermilk Pancakes. This guy is Black, okay, B-L-A-C-K. He identifies as a black man. Cousin T's buttermilk pancakes. It's got a picture of a black man, him, on the buttermilk pancakes. Growing up in foster care, I always dreamed about the big family gatherings around the breakfast table, with Grandma in the kitchen cooking up a big family breakfast, which he didn't have. As a kid, I could almost smell the intoxicating aroma of those delicious, hot and fluffy pancakes smothered in butter and warm maple syrup. I always told myself someday I would make the fabulous pancakes, and as an adult, I have cultivated my love for cooking and my passion for food into Cousin T's gourmet buttermilk pancakes. Support this guy. His website is COUSINTS.com. COUSINTS.com. That's short for Cousin T's, or maybe that's, yes, Cousin T's. COUSINTS.com. Buy something from me. He's got also shirts. He's got mugs. He's got stuff coming out of his ears. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's an entrepreneur, and this man deserves to be given what these other companies do not deserve to have anymore, is your business. Good job, Cousin T. Who said it? This is a great quote. I don't expect anybody to get it, but it is a great quote. When you think of the long and gloomy history of man, you will find that far more hideous crimes have been committed in the name of obedience than have been committed in the name of rebellion. Think of our nation right now. Uh-huh. Anybody?
Washington?
No. What? No. C.P. Snow. I didn't expect you to get it, but it was such a good quote. I'm going to read it again. Think on this. When you think of the long and gloomy history of man, you will find that far more hideous crimes have been committed in the name of obedience, like what's going on in America and all over the world right now, than have been committed in the name of rebellion. Well said. Okay, I've got a Lestrick here for you, and I want to see if it's both of them. Les did one, Kathy did one, and I'm so honored by this person's efforts that I want to see if you can figure out who they are talking about. Admin says, there'll be none left behind. So says he that's lost men and his mind. There's a difference in both, though they both took an oath. One can see that the other is blind. A real hero is quiet and true to the flag of the red, white, and blue. He is faithful and meek. God's people will seek. May we emulate what he does, too. Okay, we have a bit of irony here for you today. From Fox News. Missouri man selling catalytic converter online forgets to hide his meth. He posted a photo of auto parts and his drugs right on Facebook Marketplace. He doesn't need to have a catalytic converter drive anymore because he ain't going to be driving for a while. And speaking of driving, listen to this. Mail online. Michigan man with a suspended license dials into his Zoom court hearing while driving. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.